Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you, Neera. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to Q4 FY21 results conference call of UFlex Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah, Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah. Over to you, Yusuf.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma, for hosting the call. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you who have joined us today for Q4 earnings call of FY21 for UFlex Limited. On the call today, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, who will be sharing his assessment of the performance we posted yesterday. Please note that today's discussions may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these statements represent our opinion on what the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties. Thus, we caution not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflect our opinion only on the date of presentation. I would also like to emphasize that the call should not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will open the floor to questions and answers towards the end. Let me briefly take you through the key highlights. UFlex rose above the challenges of the pandemic to post an exemplary performance in Q4 FY21. The result we posted yesterday marked the best performance for us, as our PAT EBITDA for the quarter grew by 160% and 87% year-on-year, while the FY21 was at 128% year-on-year.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, we are losing your audio a little bit. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin Yusuf Sir back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. Thank you for your patience. We have Yusuf Sir back to the call. Sir, you may go ahead.
Total production volume and total sales volume for Q4 increased by 33.7% and 43.5% respectively on year-on-year basis. For the full year 2020-21, total production volume stood at 463,065 metric tons and total sales volume at 462,418 metric tons, both growing at roughly 21% on year-on-year basis. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to address the participants. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Yusuf. Thank you, Quantum people, for organizing this call. I think the numbers are before you. Yusuf also reiterated that for your easy remembrance or easy reference, I would say. So the quarter has been stupendous. The few facts which I would like to highlight, other than what is already known to you in terms of the performance numbers, whether it is the sales or production or the revenues or the EBITDA, I think Q4 was challenging in the sense that the raw material prices and availability, both particularly the PP, which is used for manufacturing BOPP films, was a bit of a challenge. The prices also went steeply very high after the first three quarters, which were when we saw the raw material prices in a particular range. So Q4, we had a 30% price increase for the BOPET raw materials and about 17% for the BOPP raw materials. And despite that, we achieved these numbers where, you know, our EBITDA is up about 163% on a YOY basis. And EBITDA is up, 87%, and the PAT is up 163%. So our total installed capacity of the packaging films after the expansions in Poland, Nigeria, Hungary, and Egypt will be about 510,000. So next year, you know, the another expansion which we have announced at a new location in Dharwad and at Dubai adds up to about 81,000. So by FY23 end, we will have a total production capacity in the films business of about 600,000 tons, which is, you know, an increase of about 75% over what we had at the end of FY20. So I think important is as to how do we quickly utilize to ramp up the production to reach near the optimum capacity utilization levels. And you know, that's where we feel that in the next 3 years, even if we look at a reasonable volume growth, and you know, we should be looking at about 60% growth in the packaging volumes from here on. We will also next 3 years look at about doubling our aseptic packaging business, for which you know, we are already going ahead with the expansion of the line to double the capacity. So everything is you know, sort of the business is good. The margins are pretty decent. I think the challenge is as to how do we maintain these margins. Yes, the raw material prices went up in Q4, but so did the final product prices, but you know, the more capacity coming up in the subsequent years, at least in India, will check these prices to an extent. But overseas markets are pretty decent at this stage, and we don't see much of issues there in terms of you know, any demand supply mismatches. Even after you know, we had expansions in terms of you know, the Poland, Nigeria, Hungary, and Egypt plants, which added to our debt, but still, if I take it as on FY21, the long term net debt to EBITDA is still very healthy at 1.4, and if I take total debt on a net debt basis, including the working capital, that is still under 1.8. So overall, you know, sort of very healthy financials, and we are looking to, you know, grow on volumes now that the capacities are available, and that will set the tone for the next 3 years to come. And we have, as of now, no plans to expand our packaging business, where we are looking for more value-added and products. But you know, there are no capacity expansion which is currently planned in that business. And the packaging films and the aseptic packaging, the other two businesses, are already before you. The other ancillary businesses, which are you know, like for us, we do make chemicals and adhesives which are used in the packaging industry, which we make cylinders for the packaging. All of them are doing, you know, which are not in the mainstream, but you know, as a support to the main businesses, but you know, they have also grown big not only in terms of serving the internal customer, but also serving the external customers, and they are, they are also doing good volumes as well as the top line, and they are adding to the profitability of the overall packaging business. The packaging industry per se still remains under the consolidation phase, and whenever the packaging film prices are up, the packaging industry always have challenges in terms of maintaining their healthy margins, because the price is going up, there's always a lag effect from the customer. As I've been advising earlier, the packaging business is still the margins still continue to be below our expectations, and the consolidation continues over there, and we expect that in the next couple of years, that business will also start contributing healthy margins, which today are clearly lacking in that business. And on the other hand, the packaging film business is the margins are much better, not only for us but across the industry as a whole. And that's basically the summary of so we have no other new CapEx plans to announce this quarter other than just 120 crore expansion of the aseptic packaging business, and others are all sustaining and some normal CapEx which we keep on incurring in such a huge business. But otherwise, other than that, there are no other major CapEx plans at this stage. And the endeavor in the next 2 years is to utilize the capacities which we've set up. Thank you. I think that was a bit of a summary of the performance for FY21 and Q4 FY21 from my end. I'll like to summarize it by saying that, on each one of the parameters, whether we take it as the volumes, the production volumes, the sales volume, the packaging films volume, or the packaging volumes, or the aseptic packaging volumes, or the business performances of each of the overseas locations, the profitability, the EBITDA, the PBT, the PAT, they are the best in the history of UFlex till date. And quarter four revenue gives us the guidance to touch a five-figure mark top line in the current financial year, and a four-figure PAT mark in the current financial year, which means that we're looking at a top line of over 10,000 crores and the bottom line of over 1,000 crores based on the run rate achieved in Q4 of FY21. So that's it from me, and I would love to answer any of the questions that you may have to give you further explanations or information about whatever I'm best capable of. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mr. Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations to the UFlex team for a superb set of numbers for Q4 as well as for the full year, despite the COVID challenges. I have a few questions. Can you tell me what are the spreads for Q4 in BOPET and BOPP, and also the what are the current spreads?
So the spreads in the packaging films business, if we look at that business, I think we normally don't give those spreads. So an overall basis that, you know, we have top line which a spread of about 20% EBITDA margins. The EBITDA margins in the current quarter, I think there'll be some adjustment between the BOPET films and the BOPP films. We seeing some spreads coming down in the BOPET films business, but the BOPP film business, you know, the spreads are much higher even as compared to the Q4 of FY21. While in the BOPET film business, they are marginally lower as compared to Q4 of the last year.
Okay, great. In previous consults, you have given the spread, but that's okay. This EBITDA margin number is good enough. And I must congratulate you that despite all the raw material increase, you have been able to achieve good EBITDA margin.
But you know, you can look at the pure play EBITDA margins from our consolidated numbers versus India numbers. So you will find that, you know, India number is only about 15% EBITDA margin, which is largely a packaging play. But overall basis, you know, the EBITDA margins are much healthier at above
20%. Spreads abroad are much higher than
So that's what I'm saying, that the packaging films business spread today. And, you know, this is not only for us. This is for, if you see SRF, if you see Jindal Poly, Jindal Poly had a spread of about 21.5% in Q4. You know, we see SRF spread being 29% in the packaging films business. This is a standalone number. Polyplex, as well as some of the other players also, everybody has maintained a good spread on the packaging film side. None of them are in the packaging business. The only comparable we find in packaging business is Huhtamaki, where the spreads, EBITDA margins were down 2% during Q4 versus Q4 of FY20. So that's a bit of, and Q3 also they had close to 7%. This quarter it is slightly better, but you know, none of those numbers are anywhere near to the margins today you have in the packaging films business.
Right. So what was the capacity utilization of aseptic division in Q4, and what
Q4
is your...
we had about little over 80%. And current quarter is above 92% or so.
Okay. And for full year, what is your guidance? Would you be able to?
Full year, I think still very early, because, you know, there are setbacks, and this is the only business where the setbacks in terms of the lockdowns and all that cannot be predicted. But yes, we were, for an overall year basis, we were looking at about 80% to 85% utilization.
And would you be kind enough to share what is the EBITDA, or I mean, in this division, is it positive?
So this business today has about 20% EBITDA margins.
Okay. So I think that's what we started out with, that we want to do 20% EBITDA margins in this business. So I think we are there. So great. And really happy that finally, you know, I think we are doing the capacity expansion in this division. So
in the aseptic packaging, there's a lot of, you know, stuff happening on the export front also. So we're looking at about 30% capacity catering to the export markets as we grow that business.
Great. Okay. So what would be our peak that, I mean, so you mentioned that 120 crores CapEx will be towards Asepto.
Mm.
And you also mentioned that, you know, I think you're increasing the capacity by 81,000 tons.
At Dharwad as well as at Dubai CPP.
Right.
Yeah.
So the capex for that is that, I mean, that's not mentioned. So what would
so that should be about, so we guided that last quarter. I think the
right.
total put together will be about 1,000 crores.
Okay, 1,000 crores for 81K. Okay. So so what would be a peak debt, you know?
So I think as we stand today, if we add this debt over the next 2 years period, you know, let's say this 1,000 crores, may we add, let's say, 700 crores of debt to fund this. By this, during the next 2 years, we would have also repaid about, I think, about 600 crores of debt also. So,
okay.
You know, not much of a difference will be there in terms of,
not
you know, the peaking a little bit. 10% from here on, if you see at the end of FY23.
Okay, okay. Okay. And what is the plan for, you know, is there a plan to bring the debt equity below one, the plan for deleveraging, when do we, you know, see that happening?
See, I think in today's market, you know, as I said that, you know, when I look at the numbers, just purely on a long-term debt basis, you know, the net debt to EBITDA is about 1.4, which is, you know, very, very healthy. So I don't see that, you know, there is any need to look at deleveraging yourself. So in a natural way, that the one that is happening, you know, will happen. We look for opportunities, though, to, you know, look at our lowering the interest costs and all that. So we'll keep on finding those opportunities, whether in India or overseas. But, you know, there's nothing that, you know, we're looking to deleverage in terms of any prepayments or anything of that sort.
Okay. So what is the current, you know, interest cost we bear on this debt?
Sorry?
What is the current interest
so
rate?
So India, we are looking at, India debt is about close to at about 9% or so. And the offshore debt should be at about overall L plus 3%.
Okay. Okay. And what is the breakup of the debt? I mean, how much of it is India debt and how much is it offshore?
So India long-term debt is about 850 crores.
Okay.
And overseas it is about 2,400 crores.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great.
But there's cash on the balance sheet of about 650 crores.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, the net debt is about 2,500 odd crores.
Okay. Okay. And my final question is on the film packaging division, we are not doing any CapEx. Now, what is the capacity utilization at the film packaging division?
Film packaging division, this year we have actually quarter four. You know, the packaging volumes are up by about 26% on a year-on-year basis.
Okay.
And overall for the year, I think they are about 14%, which is very, very healthy.
Right. So, I mean, I want to know, I mean, when would we require, when will it come to our, you know, a percentage where we will want to do a CapEx for the film packaging division? Or we still have some.
I stand corrected. The packaging volume for the whole year is up 17%.
Okay.
And for the quarter, it is up 26%.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I think there in the packaging business, what we are looking at is more value-added product. And, you know, the moment that happens, we will leave, we can let go some of the low margin business in that and concentrate on the value added. So that's the strategy as of now. because there's no point in adding capacity for something which is not so profitable. So let the consolidation happen in a natural way, and we can still do about 10 to 15% more on our existing capacities in that business, but we will look to substitute the low value business with the high value added products in that category.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Jiten. I'll request you to come back in the question queue. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Prashant Sharma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I want to know what is the breakup of your CapEx, because in last con call you said 850 crores of CapEx you are going to do over next 2 years, plus the aseptic package capacity that you are going to add 120 crores in that.
So 850 crores, when we said that was Dharwad expansion, then there is a Dubai expansion that should be about 150 cr, and then there is expansion of aseptic which is about 120 crore, and that's what is annual at present.
Okay, and sir, when this capacity is going to come online?
This will happen by March 23. It
March
can happen 20. Earlier, but you know, I think let's look at March 23 as if we achieve it earlier, that will always be better. But you know, that's the safer target to achieve.
Okay. And sir, how much is the revenue that we can expect to generate from these CapEx?
So I think we can look to generate from each of these. So in nutshell, we can look to generate about everything put together, you can say about 1500 crores.
1500 crores. Okay. And my next question is, sir, if you look at the history of the company, the operating profit margin is something around 12-14%, but right now it's going to 20-21%. Sir, is it because of the COVID-19 that is happening, and do you think these kind of numbers are sustainable in future?
Okay. See, you know, the margin improvement has largely been in the packaging film business, which has gone through its own cycle after 2010-11 boom, and then it was languishing for a larger part of for many years, and only after 2016 when the capacity utilization started increasing as the new capacities were not adding new capacities, so the capacity utilization across the industry improved to about 80-85%, and that's where the margins improved. We saw what happened in 2010-11 was a euphoria where a lot of capacity got added and the margins got affected a bit.
Right.
But still, to be a conservative side, I think about 2% margin shave off can happen on the packaging film business in the medium run, but you know, we'll make up on those numbers by the extra volumes that we will generate, as well as on the cost per ton numbers that will go down because of a higher production levels.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Deepak Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity. Great set of numbers, sir. Sir, my question is that due to raw material price increase, mainly crude oil derivatives, what is the pass back means? How you are passing the cost to the customers?
So as you know, this question has come up many times, in this industry. So in this industry, the price increase because of the raw material linked, crude price link is almost either instant or with a lag in the packaging business, but it does happen on either side when the prices go up or when the prices go down. Yes, in FY21, because of the pandemic, when initially in the Q1 there was a huge spurt in demand led by people hoarding the food products because of fear of lockdowns and all that. That led to a temporary spurt in the demand for the packaging, and while the raw material prices fell, the finished goods prices were higher due to a huge increase in demand. But in the next three quarters that got adjusted, and as I said that in Q4 we saw 30% increase in the raw material prices for the films, about a 17% raw material prices for the BOPP films. But despite that, the EBITDA margins for the quarter are still better than the previous quarter margins, which means that you've been able to pass on that price benefit, that price cost impact to your customers.
Okay, thank you. My last question is, sir, what is the optimum high level EBIT margin? Is it sustainable, like 20% plus?
I already answered that by saying that as we stand today, I think we'll strive to achieve that, driven by additional volumes coming from our aseptic packaging business and the additional capacities in the overseas markets coming into play. We should also expect in the next couple of years better margins coming from our core packaging business as such, which is today operating at suboptimal EBITDA margins numbers. So overall, one product yielding a few basis point and the other products catching up on that, I think that jugglery should still give us about a 20% EBITDA margin. But even if we shave off a couple of percentage points on the margins and make up through the higher volumes coming our way, which also brings down our cost of production, we'll be glad to accept that kind of a situation as well.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I will get in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Saurabh Sharma, sorry, we are unable to hear you properly. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Hold on a second. Am I audible now, sir?
Yeah, much.
All right, great, sir. So congratulations first and foremost on the numbers that have been delivered this quarter. After the little bit of a disappointment of the last quarter, I believe these numbers, of course, speak volumes about the performance that the team has put in. So congratulations, and hopefully the company has done well throughout the second wave that has hit the country. And, I hope for the best health of everyone at the company at large. So my question was regarding the Q4 numbers. The other expenses I saw are on the lower side. So could you detail why that might be?
So I think in the last quarters, we had probably over-provisioning of some of the costs, which were at the final set of numbers, audited numbers. So that got adjusted a bit, and that's why you see some adjustment in the other expenses.
So in fact, I mean, are you speaking of the sequential last quarter or the year, the last Q4 of last year?
No. I'm talking about the sequential quarter.
Okay, but also compared to Q3 of Q4 of 20, the other expenses have been controlled quite appreciably.
Yeah. So then, you know, on top of that, you know, there are expenses which are not happening today, mostly on account of certain travel costs, certain costs to participate in some of the exhibitions and shows. And, you know, all of that in our kind of a business where we are in about 140 countries, you know, is playing a very, very substantial role in thinking down costs.
Right. All right. So, and so the second question is regarding the brownfield expansion in Egypt that was completed this quarter, right?
Yeah.
So could you just from my recollection, mention when was this brownfield expansion started?
I'll have to get back separately for that as to when did it started. But
okay.
Probably this was the first one we took when, and later we had Poland, we had Nigeria, and we had some of the other things that came out.
So this Egypt expansion that was operationalized in Q4 2021, this is around 42,000 BOPP, right?
Which is 42,000 BOPP, yeah.
Right. And the status of Hungary and Nigeria, sir?
Hungary and Nigeria are due any moment now. We've done enough trial runs over there and all that. So that is like, you know, any moment in this quarter.
Right.
We delayed there, you know, by at least, I think, quarter and a half. But, you know, that's coming on stream now.
Right. And the new expansion that has been announced in the last two quarters, you just mentioned that in the answer to a previous question that the expected turnover for that is going to be around 1,500 crores. So does that mean an asset turnover of around less than 1.5?
So in our business, we have an asset turnover in the packaging films of little over 1. So that's what it is.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sagar Shah from SA Analytics Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Actually, I had just one question, actually. First of all, congratulations for a very excellent set of numbers, actually, for the Q4 and also for the entire year, actually. Now, my question was that in spite of such a good performance, the dividend payout ratio seems to be on the lower side, actually. So, do you have any plans to increase the dividend payout? And secondly, if this performance continues for FY22 and your capex is hardly 120 crores in your new aseptic packaging plant, so do you have at least some decent plans to reduce your debt so that your finance cost gets reduced and maybe your ROE would actually get a boost? It would be good to shareholder value.
So I answered that already by saying that, you know, we have no plans to accelerate any payments of the debts due, and we'll continue to make those payments as and when they are due. Having said that, you know, the dividend we've increased this year from 20% to 25%. I know from the shareholders' perspective it's a marginal increase, but you know, any such increase further will only increase the debt to be taken for completing these projects. And you know, if we give a higher payout, the accruals to be re-plowed back into the businesses would be lesser available, which means that, you know, you're adding on only further debt, which is you know, counterproductive to what you said, that, you know, what are your plans to reduce debt. So this is also one of the ways that, you know, you keep your debt in the check. No plans to prepay any debt, but, you know, the capex plans are also as of now frozen, but you know, that's a very evolving thing, and you know, maybe a quarter, two quarters, four quarters down the line, once you've consolidated your numbers, you know, the management and the board could consider anything further, but nothing as of now.
But actually, your dividend payout ratio is on a very, in spite of such a brilliant quarter, your dividend payout ratio seems to be on a very lower side.
I understand the payout ratio is lower, but that was done only keeping in mind, you know, the capex that we've planned in the next couple of years for the Dharwad as well as for the assembling packaging business.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. So my first question is, like, what is the capex for this recycling plants which you are setting up at Mexico and Poland? And also, please quantify what is it going to contribute to the bottom line?
Okay. So these capex are not much. You know, they are couple of million dollars only, maybe $2 to $3 million, so not much here and there. But, you know, in terms of our readiness to embrace a circular economy in the packaging, I think these are important as a showcase. You know, we eventually don't want to invest in some of those things because, you know, they're not the way that, you know, we are actually not, you know, the right fit for some of these products. These are more of a showcasing for us, for us to take up with the governments, for us to take up with the other stakeholders, that, you know, how the plastics menace, which is being given a very bad word, how that is to be tackled. There are ways to tackle that. So this is more from that respect rather than any investments to show that, you know, as your mainstream businesses. But yes, the biodegradable part of the things will be part of our mainstream business, but that's a little while away. And these are more of showcasing opportunities to the government, to the environmentalists, to our customers, that, you know, what are we capable of in terms of recycling the plastic waste and as to handle the, you know, the plastic waste. Having said that, there are extra realizations, you know, when you make a BOPET film from an old PET, recycling the old PET bottles, there are additional, you know, margins available. The margins for selling those films are a bit higher, but the volumes have still to catch up to the extent that, you know, the total volumes of that film. But having said that, you know, we don't want to go out and collect those bottles from the rag pickers or others and all that. Let somebody else do that business. We'll only guide others as to how to do that business and how to make a plastic a circular economy.
Right, sir. Understood. That's a great initiative. And now coming on the HFO expansion. So, sir, if I recollect the number which you have given just now and the number which you guided for in the past, there is a bit deviation. So, why is that so?
I didn't get your this thing.
So,
number
this time,
in the past.
This time for the HFO expansion, we have guided for, like, we have announced a capex of 120 crores. Whereas in one of your earlier phone calls, the number was around 50 crores. So are we adding something more than what we thought?
No, we are not adding some of the other bottlenecking equipment and some of, you know, when you do a project, then there are, apart from the hard costs, there are soft costs also, like interest during construction, you know, upfront fees that you pay to the lenders for that, their loans, you know, the manpower costs which goes into, you know, setting up those projects and all that. So all put together, it is the maximum of about 120 crores. But if you talk of printing line as such only, I think we gave a guidance earlier that it's about 60 crores or so. And that remains so.
Okay. So one last question. What was the capacity utilization for the Poland facility in Q4?
Poland facility in Q4. I don't have that number right now, Ji.
Okay.
But it's not fully utilized. The new plant that has come up is not fully utilized. I think we need to ramp up the numbers there too, you know, which we'll do in the current financial year.
Okay. So, like, we are expecting to ramp it up to 100% by the end of the current financial year.
That's the endeavor to do it much earlier, but let's see.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
We're doing our best on that, and pandemic is only helping that because, you know, today if you see the freight rates from India to Europe or elsewhere, they are minimum 3x of what they used to be pre-COVID. So obviously, which means that, you know, the manufacturers who are supplying those films from India have to incur additional costs, which means that their landed cost there is costlier, which means that there's more opportunities for us to penetrate into some of those customers, given that, you know, we will be able to derive a better margins for those films, what we manufacture in Poland, as well as, you know, convince these guys that, look, you know, if you want to be 100% sure that, you know, your factories keep on running, I think might as well pay a bit of an extra cost by buying a made in Europe material, and no fluctuations of the prices. Because, you know, the crude is today X, by the time 3 months later you get the material, it is 20% more or 20% less. So, you know, you can manage your inventory inventory holding costs. So I think all that will play out over the next couple of years. Abhi tak ye nahi ho raha tha because, you know, we were already sold out fully in those jurisdictions, so there was no opportunities like this to convert more customers to buy locally, which is of course happening now.
Right. Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Good luck for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ayush, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I actually had a question about the aseptic packaging line that you all are setting up. You said that you are having demand from exports now. So, are you also thinking of setting up anything in Europe?
If that would have been there, we would have announced that, no. As I said, as of now, whatever the CapEx we've announced, other than that, there are no plans, but, you know, obviously some of these successes always, you know, propel you to think as to, you know, what are the new business opportunities, you know, and so maybe tomorrow at some stage we may think of doing aseptic packaging business globally, as we do the film business today globally.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. The rest of my questions have all been answered. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about excuse me. I wanted to ask about you know, what are the, you know, what is happening on the recyclability, and you know, what are the government keeps on talking about, you know, reducing use of plastic and all that. So what are our thoughts on that? Have we made any progress?
So I think whatever governments are doing in terms of you know, asking people to lower the use of the plastic or single-use plastic, especially the bags, you know, we've seen a very, very poor implementation of that, you know, and this is not happening today. This is happening for the last 15 years or so. But despite the fact that, you know, you see that if I see the packaging film business, India for the last so many years is recording a double-digit growth in that. I just shared the packaging business growth with you also this fiscal. It's about 17%. So where is, while we talk about all this, but are we actually in a position to find an alternate to a packaging other than the flexible packaging which is primarily using polymers? I think the answer is no. Yes, there'll be some product developments which will be plant based and, you know, things like that. But the cost effectiveness of that and the scalability, availability, you know, all remains as the best guess. And that is where we say that, you know, our product, which is a biodegradable film, that, you know, we add certain enzymes when we make the films. So whether I throw a piece of the Lay's chips pack after eating it by the side of the road, or by the side of the beach, if they become compost after their assigned life cycle, you know, that's going to be the fundamental change, the way the plastics will be perceived. So, you know, all of us, whether we are human, animals or anything else, have an end of a life cycle, but plastic hasn't got it. So we have found a solution where, you know, we have been able to assign an end of life solution to the plastic. The product is at a very advanced stage. We are looking at, you know, the government support in terms of, you know, making this, you know, you have to enact this, because otherwise, you know, when there's a cost involved and, you know, the brands may not want to use it or not use it to that extent. They just, you know, sometimes what happens is, you know, we just do a bit of this to show our care towards the environment and to reduce the noise around. But when we look at the full scale use of that and the costs associated therewith, you know, obviously, we think that, you know, that cannot be passed on to the consumer, and that will take a hit on our own margins. So all those decisions are taken in that respect. But what I've been telling you is that recyclability coupled with biodegradable films is the only solution going forward for giving an end of life to the plastic. And UFlex is in a ready situation for that. The governments are currently, you know, overwhelmed by the pandemic. So some of the other things which they were planning on this environment side probably would have taken a backseat. That's giving us a more time to, you know, perfect our product offerings. But, you know, that's going to be a huge winner for the UFlex and for the plastic industry as a whole. Recycling stuff, I already said that we will only showcase it. We're not intending to get into that business, but biodegradable prod films and all, we'll be the pioneers in this.
Great. That's so good to hear. You know, cost wise, would it be a significant, you know, higher cost
थोड़ा बहुत तो होगा, 10-15% तो एक्स्ट्रा होगा ही, यू नो.
10-15% इज फाइन, इट्स ग्रेट एक्चुअली, टू बी ऑनेस्ट, यू नो, आई थिंक दैट्स ग्रेट. I mean,
but I don't hold more on to me those numbers because, you know, I'm not a technical guy who's,
right.
You know, initial period, you know, there could be demand and supply mismatches, so the cost may be a bit different. And, you know, we all know the electronics, the same electronics 10 years before, what was the cost, and today what is the cost, including some of the appliances we use it at our home, including the LCD, LED TVs and all that. So I think those cycles will take their own course, and but yes, there will be a cost impact of that, but much less cost impact than today. You know, when we look at how do we manage the environmental associated cost with this, or the recycling cost with associated with the same. So if we throw away a plastic, or like we throw away a cloth and that becomes a biomass at the end of its assigned life cycle, then you don't need to put a mechanism to collect those waste, to recycle that, and then to again send to. So the overall costs, if you see, I think they'll be still lower than, you know, the overall environment management costs.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great. Thanks for this these insights, you know, this is great to know, and very happy that the company is always a pioneer in, you know, technology and advancements.
No, I'm saying that, take my words today, you know, this is going to differentiate UFlex from the rest of the industry in the packaging business.
Great. Thank you.
In the next 5 years, you will see, the kind of impact this one product will have. I have no idea that as to how the others are, what other competitors are doing on this aspect, but I'm supposed that, you know, everybody is seized of this challenge and, you know, taking this as an opportunity and will have their offerings as well. But, you know, UFlex is certainly a front runner in all of this.
Great. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Shalu Asjia from Invest Research. Please go ahead. Shalu, may I request you to unmute your line from SR and go ahead with the question, please? Shalu, we are unable to hear you. May I request you to unmute your line from SR and go ahead with your question, please? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Mr. Prasad Kumar from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Congrats, Rajesh, for the great set of numbers. We are impressed with the kind of earnings growth that we can see as part of your organization. I have one quick question where you have partly answered this before, again on the debt levels, right? So when are you seeing your debt levels maybe coming to a lower level from what you have currently, right? So I understand that you don't have any intention to prepay any debt, but do you see the debt getting softening in the next 12 to 24 months?
It's not a debt reduction actually which matters to me as a CFO. I think what matters to me is a healthy metrics to debt to earnings. And as I said, that even as of now, as on 31st of March 2021, when I look at those numbers and I see that, you know, my long-term net debt to EBITDA is only 1.4, and I haven't, realized even a 10-15% potential of the investments that I made over the last 2 years in terms of setting these capacities, which added us a debt of about $300 million. So I feel very comfortable, and because, you know, when I see also the tenor of that debt, it's a long-term debt between a 7 to 10 year kind of a period. So there are no pressures on the cash flows of any sort for any sort of that debt servicing. If the ratios remain healthy, in the absolute numbers, debt additions won't be much of an issue for us. We are only looking to maintain a healthy number in terms of our leverage ratio vis-a-vis our earnings. And so long as we are able to serve that, which means that, you know, you are able to do create a much larger value creation for the shareholders than what, you know, 8 or 9% or even in the foreign entity, a 4 or 5% debt cost would have been. So I don't, we have no intention to look at any of the prepayment. It will happen in the natural course. We will only keep an eye that, you know, our earnings with a sufficient margins are good enough to take care of our debt servicing requirement with a huge comfort, with a huge margin. That's what the whole endeavor is.
Okay. And one other quick question, maybe I don't know whether you have covered this a bit with your plans, some of your plans outside India, which has finished the trial run, and you also said that there was a delay of 1.5 quarters and stuff. So with all those capacities coming on, so what's the growth that you are looking at for next 2-3 years?
I already said that in terms of our capacities that we have created, or we going to create, minus the you know, the production which we achieved for FY21, there has to be at least 60% growth from here on over the next 2-3 years.
Great to hear. And one last, maybe it's a humble request from an investor point of view. I saw somebody else also raising that. In terms of
dividend
payout ratio, if you can, if, yeah, exactly.
We'll do that once we decide that there is no further capex cycle. We'll do that, but you know, as I said, that you know, the higher the payout, higher is the debt to be taken for funding those expansions. So it eventually, you know, sort of evens out in that respect from a shareholder's perspective. So what I'm saying is, your money with me. I'm trying to create more value for you than probably you can create with that by me giving that money back to you. So long as I'm able to do that, you know, you are all happy with me. If I'm unable to do that, then we look at returning excess money through the through dividends, etc.
Makes sense. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. I request all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Saurabh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, sir. So I had a follow-up to a few of the previous participants' questions. You mentioned, just to confirm, you mentioned that Uflex as a company will be looking at biodegradability instead of recyclability. Did I get that right?
No. So I think you complete your question and then I'll answer, because it will be a repetition for me.
So my question was regarding the materials that you use for your films. Is it that you use PTA and MEG to make your own resin and to make your own chips, or do you buy out chips from the market and process that into films?
So we buy out the chips from the market.
Great. All right. Okay. So and with respect to the biodegradability versus recyclability, if you can expand.
So you will buy we can do a backward integration in terms of buying PT and MEG from the refineries and set up your own resin plants. I think the larger you are, your dependence on the outside world for the raw materials should be a well balanced approach. But as of now, there are no availability issues, and we're not applying ourselves to that. what we are saying is after we buy the resin and then we process that to make films, in that process certain enzymes get added while making that film, which makes them biodegradable.
Okay, so the resin remains the same, then only thing that is different is enzyme.
No, enzyme is just an add-on.
Addition, right.
Yeah.
So, all right. But
so the resins are melted. Okay. They are hard chips, so they are melted through a process, right. And then it is casted into a film. So when you melt them, along that you will add some enzymes to ensure that, you know, the films are biodegradable. Then there'll be, I think, the subsequently there'll be development of coatings on the films, on the top layer, on the bottom layer, which will add to the biodegradability of those films.
Okay, all right. And the second question was about the CapEx on a standalone entity level. I see there has been some CapEx, a significant amount of CapEx for that matter, for the standalone entity. So could you just tell us what was that for?
So that was, you know, on setting up some of the recycling facilities last year, on doing some modernization at our films plant in India, because they are now about 25 years old plants, and then, you know, in any of this size of facility there's about, you know, normal capex of about you know, then there were opportunities on the packaging, because, you know, all of a sudden there was huge requirements for the you know, for the sanitizers packaging, as well as for the liquid soaps packaging. So those pouches making machines had to be added on an urgent basis. So all that, you know, which you either call it a sustaining capex or you call it incremental capex, which is to just to add to the balancing equipment. Like, you know, today I may have a higher capacity for the printing, but in terms of making pouches, if I print say 100 tons, my pouching capacity may be limited to 20 tons only. But with the sanitizers and with the liquid soaps demand coming in, so we had to increase that capacity of the pouching films to an extent. So all this capex is
so. But the maintenance capex, per year is going to be around what range, sir?
You can say about across the company about 150 to 200 crores.
On a consolidated basis?
Yeah, on a consolidated basis.
Great, all right. And so the last question is about the promoter thinking in terms of shareholder returns. I understand your reasoning about the dividends, but I wanted to sort of get a bird's eye view of what the promoter is thinking in terms of leaving their stake either, or because there has been, you know, of course you would be aware of the NRI position increasing in the company's outstanding share capital. So is that a friendly takeover? Is the management aware of that? What is the nature, or is that an independent transaction that the management and the promoters have no concern with? If you could just...
No, see, it is some investors like you who have faith in us, in our business model. And, you know, I understand that, but, you know, the similar investors you had, if you see their track record, they were earlier in some of the competitor companies, but then they exited those companies because they would have found us more interesting, or they would have challenges in some of those businesses. So I don't know the reason for that, but this is purely an investment perspective. And, you know, there are people, you know, today, you know, still at this price, if you see the peers in our business in the developed markets, I think they are at a much higher valuation multiple than where the Indian films or packaging companies are trading at. I see one of our competitors who's looking to divest its business, and we see, you know, the share price going up substantially over the last 6 months or so, because the exit valuations on these businesses have to fall in line with, you know, what's the global things for this. And we've seen the transactions happening in the global markets in this segment, which is at anywhere between 12 to 14 EBITDA multiples in the packaging business. We've seen Bemis being acquired by Amcor at that kind of a numbers valuation. So I think it's eventually somebody believing in a company that, you know, yes, I'm buying it cheap, but what I'm buying is an industry leader. What I'm buying into the largest global manufacturer of the BOPET films in the world outside China, and, you know, the track record of the management growth, how they've handled their CapEx projects, how they've ramped up their capacity utilization faster, how they are aware of, the issues that are cropping up these industries and how they plan to tackle it. So I think it's all that they would have considered and, you know, before investing, continue to invest in our company. So that's the only thing I can say, but, you know, there's no way that, you know, there is any other link to that right. Investment.
Right. And to get an answer to my the Egypt CapEx initialization date, where can I email, sir, to get an answer on that?
Yeah, I will get.
I mean, so should I email someone, sir, for that?
You can be in touch with Yusuf on that.
All right, great, sir. Thank you. That's it. Have all the very best, and thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Harikanath Peri, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Congrats on a set of good numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, actually, like last year, June was a complete lockdown, and this year also partial lockdown was there in across the country and across the globe. So what do you think about the overall current financial year and the current quarter?
I think I already answered that. I can't be so specific about immediate quarter or this thing. I think I can do a general guidance as of now based on the capacities that we've created, but overall I can say that, you know, the current as I've said, a month or a quarter and all that, you know, does not make a huge impact in the life of the organization. But an overall guidance from our side is FY22 and beyond. While this may be the best ever achievement in terms of the production, sales, and the top line and the profitability performance, but we are looking to surpass this in FY22 and even beyond that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rahul Soni from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Can I request that, you know, we want to, sort of close this in the next 10 minutes or so, because I have another meeting at 5. So I'll request all of you to, you know, sort of, because, you know, there are a lot of questions which are being repetitive in nature. So the answers are already there, but still, in case, you know, anybody of you wants a specific query, I think they can be in touch with Yusuf to, and we'll try to address that.
We'll take the last question from the line of Rahul Soni. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, sir. and congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, as you said, the prices of BOPET and BOPP increased by 30% and 17% year on year during the quarter.
Raw material pricing.
Yeah. So
raw materials for BOPET and BOPP films.
Okay. So are you able to pass on this price fully?
I already answered that by saying that despite this price rise in this quarter, my overall EBITDA margin is still better than what was there in the previous quarter. Which means that, you know, yes, we've been able to get a better value from our customers for this price increase as well.
Okay. And just one quick clarification from you. Your export revenue are included in the India business?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you very much. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Yusuf Nasruwala for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. You may also contact me for further queries. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for on the call and showing such a exuberance, you know, in asking questions, in being proactive and all that. That always, you know, sort of helps us in terms of being more on the toes and be prepared next time for better answers to some of the questions, you know, you may have. And, you know, we'll be, we are, you know, absolutely transparent with you in terms of what we plan to do currently, what are our plans, how do we see our business in the immediate future, and the industry challenges and the opportunities. So we look forward to continued interactions with all of you, and we happy that, you know, if our shareholders are happy.
Thank you very much. On behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.